Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha. My name is Adina Schmidman. Join us for Counting Towards Sinai, daily inspiration on the Tefillah of Shmona Esrei between Pesach and Shavuos. This year, we are inviting women educators from Eretz Yisrael to share inspiration to honor Israel 75th. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah u'devar Hashem miYerushalayim. Learn more and sign up at ou.org/women/CTS2023. And now for this week's Parsha.
Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be learning Parsha Shmini, the third Parsha of Sefer Vayikra. This Parsha begins where the last Parsha ended off. It is the eighth day after the Mishkan has been erected, and Aaron and his sons begin to act as Kohanim. Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, brought a foreign fire onto the Mizbeach and are burnt by a heavenly fire as punishment. The Parsha then discusses the kosher status of animals, birds, fish, and insects. The Parsha concludes with a discussion of how vessels and people can become tamei, ritually impure, through touching or eating tamei items such as shratzim, crawling creatures, and dead animals. Today, I'd like to focus on the end of the Parsha, which discusses kashrus. Many hours of our lives revolve around food. We buy, we cook, we serve, we eat, we clean up, and then our bodies react to the food, both positively and negatively. So much of our religious lives revolve around food as well, with all the laws of kashrus and checking that we eat only the right foods. Talking about food is particularly timely as we have just concluded the holiday of Pesach, where it feels like we're either in the kitchen or at the table. It's not just us that has this issue. In fact, the Kolbo explains that there was a minhag to fast Bahab, which is every Monday and Thursday after Pesach until Shavuos, because of the excess amounts of eating and drinking on Pesach. Eating to excess is both wrong in its own and leads to loosening other boundaries that bring to sin. The topic before the laws of kashrus in the Parsha also relates to this concept. After the death of Nadav and Avihu, the Kohanim are warned not to drink wine or spirits before they serve in the Mishkan or before anyone renders a halachic decision. The reason, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, is simple. When someone is doing something that gets to the heart of life itself, serving Hashem in the Mishkan or deciding halacha, which defines reality, they need to have all their faculties intact. Rabbeinu Bachai adds that wine naturally causes three things. A person gets sleepy, overconfident, or confused. Each of these things are problematic when it comes to serving Hashem. Just like when operating heavy equipment, when we are serving Hashem, we must be alert, careful, and thoughtful. As a community, while alcohol can become a communal issue, it is easier to correct as abstinence and moderation with alcohol is possible for most people. Our relationship with food that comes after this is a little more challenging. In our society, there is both an unhealthy diet culture and an obesity epidemic. Everyone struggles with what and how to eat. Because we all need to eat, hunger is a universal driver, and everyone has taste for different foods that are unhealthy. How can the laws of kashrus direct us in this area? There are actually two different approaches as to what the goals of the laws of kashrus are. Both are important in helping us develop a healthy relationship with food. In one camp, which includes the Sefer HaChinuch, is the view that the laws of kashrus are designed to primarily benefit us physically. By observing the laws of kashrus, we will be healthier people. The second camp, which includes the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachai, is that the kashrus primarily impacts our spiritual state. Each Rishon includes the other's main reason as a secondary reason for kashrus, but it's not their primary reason. Let's begin with the Sefer HaChinuch. He states that we cannot eat non-kosher animals for the same reason we cannot eat trefos, animals that have been injured, which was discussed in Parshas Mishpatim. The Chinuch says that our bodies serve a purpose. They are the vessel that houses the soul and allows the soul to act in this world. Without the body, the neshama could never reach its perfection. Although it would seem that the body harms the neshama benefits from its connection to the body, as this is the system designed by Hashem, who is all good and only wants to do positive things for us. If that's the case, then our bodies have a purpose, and our job is to guard them so that they function. The Chinuch brings a mashal, an analogy, to help us understand this responsibility. Imagine you have a craftsman, a blacksmith, who uses tongs and other tools to shape his crafts. Even if the craftsman is very talented, if he has substandard tools, he won't be able to produce as high quality goods. the more precise his tongs, the better will his output look. If you have ever tried to draw with an unsharpened pencil, you have experienced this. Having the wrong tools will handicap any talents a person has. Our body and soul functions in the same way. A soul is given the body it needs to help it fulfill its purpose in life. If that body becomes damaged or injured through its own choices, the soul housed within the body cannot fulfill its potential for mitzvos as when the body was healthy. A person who is deconditioned because they do not exercise and overeat or don't eat enough will come to the point where they cannot walk, so they can't go to shul on Shabbos and fulfill those mitzvos. For this reason, by defining which animals we cannot eat, the Torah stops us from eating foods that will damage our bodies, as this would in turn cause our soul's damage. Hashem wants our bodies to function at their optimum so that our souls can benefit from the good deeds our bodies will do. Hashem is our Father. He loves us, and like a good father, He wants us to be as healthy as possible so we can get the most out of life. The Sefer HaKanuch warns us that although scientists and doctors may not understand the physical dangers of the non-kosher animals, Hashem, who knows our physical makeup, has set up the boundaries and knows better than anyone else about which foods are helpful and which are harmful. Hashem specifically hid the exact rationale of what the impact the foods have so that people would not try to outsmart him about which foods are actually fine, which may happen if we knew the exact reason. Since taking care of our bodies is a responsibility that we are meant to take seriously, the Torah commands us to verify that the foods we are eating are kosher. In Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Beis and Gimel, we are commanded to check animals we want to eat for the signs of kashrus and verify that they chew their cuds and have split hooves. We are also commanded to check fish for fins and scales and check birds and locusts for those that are kosher. The command, says the Chinuch, is a positive mitzvah to check. Why shouldn't this just be a negative command not to eat animals that are not kosher? There is a lesson hidden in there. Imagine someone puts out a few bottles of clear liquid and tells us, "I'm running out the door. I know you need something to drink. One of these is isopropyl alcohol, one is vodka, and one is water." They tell us this, and they know that we need this water, but they don't have time to help us. We wouldn't go ahead and randomly grab a bottle to then make our baby's formula. We would sniff and shake and guarantee that we weren't eating or drinking anything that is dangerous. Non-kosher food is dangerous for our bodies. It harms our bodies, even if we don't know how, and so we are obligated to check and double check that what we put in our mouth will make us strong so that we can serve our souls to the best of our ability. The Ramban and the Beinu B'chaye take a different perspective when it comes to the reason for all the laws of kashrus. In Parsha Shmini, the Torah lists a series of birds that are not kosher. The Ramban finds a common thread among these animals. These animals are birds of prey. They catch other animals while alive and then eat them. This takes a measure of cruelty which their meat and blood has absorbed. Eating this meat would transfer some of this cruelty, which is a spiritual distinction, to the person who eats it, changing their soul. Similarly, animals that chew their cud and have split hooves are never predators, which is why we can eat them. Rabbeinu B'chaye emphasizes in our parsha that the character trait that Hashem loves more than all others is humility, and Hashem distances himself from arrogance. Cruelty and the ability to cause suffering to others stems from this arrogance, which we must keep far away from us. If we were to eat an animal who is cruel, it would change our personality and our souls. The Ramban does add that there is some physical manifestation of harm that happens to people who eat this food. This seems to represent the damage done by the food rather than being the entire reason for this prohibition. At the end of the parsha, the Torah adds an additional section about the impact of a different forbidden group of animals, the prohibition of eating shratzim, crawling creatures. The pasuk tells us not to eat these animals so that we are not vinit mesim bam. We do not become impure from them. Eating shratzim makes our souls tamei, which is a spiritual state of impurity. The act of eating these non-kosher animals impacts us spiritually. Chazal take this one step further. The word vinit mesim should have been written with an aleph, as its root, tes mem aleph, tamei, is impurity. In this pasuk, the word vinit mesim is missing the aleph. As a result, the word can be read alternatively as vinitamtem, which means that you will be stopped up. This alternative reading means that by eating shrotzim, a person's spiritual nature will be stopped up and their seichel, their intellect, will be corrupted. By eating non-kosher, we not only become tamei, we not only become impure, but we also limit the spiritual growth we can achieve afterward. The Chinuch asks the question that should strike us all. How is it possible that something physical could impact something spiritual? These are two separate worlds. There is heaven and there is earth. The two should not meet. He answers that Hashem created the world where one being, man, holds these two opposites simultaneously. In man, the soul and the body are partners. They are meant to work together, so even something physical like eating a sheretz can cross over and impact the spiritual. The Mesilas Yesharim tells us that forbidden foods bring tumah into a person, which causes the holiness of Hashem to depart. When holiness departs, a person is going to be, by definition, more animalistic, as well as focused more on the material and enmeshed with the coarser points of life. Rabbeinu Bachaya points out that the removal of the letter Aleph from the word hints to this idea that Hashem departs when we bring tumah within us. The letter Aleph represents the oneness of Hashem. When a person eats shrotzim, he is in effect removing the Aleph, the oneness of Hashem, from within his soul. This causes his soul to be stopped up and impacts him spiritually. This idea is still relevant to us today. The concepts of tumah and tahara, impurity and purity, are foreign to us as we don't understand the spiritual world that exists and what happens to our soul when it is exposed to tumah. Timtum, the stopping up of one's heart, is a consequence. It is not a punishment and will happen even if eating the food is not a sin. For this reason, we are careful to feed Jewish children kosher food, as otherwise it can cause them timtum, even if they are below the age of mitzvos. Likewise, it is better to have a child nursed from a Jewish woman, lechatchila, as the nature of the milk has absorbed the nature of the food the nursemaid eats, which can impact the child's character. The Ramban notes in Sefer Shmos, and Rabbeinu Bachaya points out in our Parsha, that the laws of kashrus relate to the concepts of kedusha. After the prohibition of becoming tameis from shrotzim, the pasuk tells us why we should not become tameis. It says, "Ki ani Hashem Elokechem, I am Hashem your God, v'hiskadoshtem v'yisem kedoshim ki kadosh ani. You shall sanctify yourselves and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make yourselves impure through any swarming thing that moves upon the earth." The reason for these mitzvahs of kashrus is so that we can become holy. Holiness means that our souls will become dominant, and our physical side, that which is driven by desire and cravings, takes a secondary role. Every person in the world is born with desires. The laws of kashrus gives us a power to overcome our instincts and drives. As humans, every day we are fighting a battle between that which we know is right and that which we want. The laws of kashrus gives our bodies and souls the tools it needs to win this battle. The Rabbeinu Bachaya defines the word kadosh, holiness, to mean to abstain. Our parsha is telling us that through abstaining from forbidden food, we are allowing our godly part to come through. This lesson is not just related to kosher and forbidden foods. It is meant to serve as a framework for us. We are not meant to overindulge in foods, as that this will distract us from pursuing that which our soul wants. Rabbeinu Bachaya points out that in our pasuk, the word kadosh is mentioned three times. He says that this is a hint that we should wash in the tilas yadayim before the meal, after the meal, and say brachos in the middle. Our act of eating, even when the food is kosher, must be framed with holiness so that it meets its intended purpose. This is the lesson of this week's parsha, which can help orient our relationship with food. There is no one in this world who has a completely functional relationship with food. It is something that everyone struggles with, as it represents the most personal balance between our spiritual and our physical. From this parsha, we have learned that food is meant as a tool, a means to an end. Our bodies need the strength to serve Hashem. We need to have the proper vitamins and minerals. Neither an obsession with diet or being completely carefree about the food and overindulging is the right approach. All of the laws of kashrus are telling us that food is powerful. It impacts us physically, which defines what we can achieve, and it impacts us spiritually, which limits or allows who we are. As we eat, we need to be mindful of what and how we are eating. We need to eat with an understanding of the Kedusha inherent in what we are doing. We must frame our meals with holiness by learning, saying brachos, using our food to help others, and honoring Shabbos and Yom Tov. When we eat, it is not just about enjoying the meals, it is helping us serve Hashem. Now we are in a time period between Pesach and Shavuos. During this time, we learn Pirkei Avos, says the Me'am Loes, as we are meant to work on ourselves day by day to prepare for Matan Torah. In Pirkei Avos, it says, Im ein kemach, ein Torah. If there is no food, there is no Torah. It also says in Pirkei Avos the downside of food, marba basar, marba rima. When one dies, the heavier the body is, there are more worms in decomposition. Part of our daily work as Jews who have both a body and a soul is that we must constantly balance the need to stay healthy, to have kemach, to have flour, and sustain ourselves with the desire to eat more than we need or less than we need. Every person has this challenge to work on balancing our needs and wants, our bodies and our souls. This daily struggle gives us a place where we can focus on how do our soul and body meet and how do they interact? And how are we making choices to serve Hashem each day? Have a good Shabbos.